Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Happy Easter. We continue to celebrate the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to walk with the apostles as the church leads us through the early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles. Last week, we talked about the miracle that Peter had performed for the lame beggar outside the temple, in the temple, and the consequences that they've come to experience as a result of preaching the gospel, working signs and wonders, and healing a man. Now they're experiencing exactly what Jesus said they would experience. They look more like Jesus now than they ever have as the Holy Spirit came upon them. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus told the apostles he was going to send them out to bear witness to what they saw, which is the reality of the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. They saw him crucified, and they saw him risen from the dead, and that they began to see in him the glory and majesty that belonged to Jesus. Jesus was not fully glorified when they saw him, but they began to see the new life, the new power, the existence beyond death, the new creation being born in the person of Jesus Christ. And they began to, as John said in his first letter, he said that the apostles, each of them, they beheld his glory. They said they saw the eternal life that was with the Father had appeared to them in the person of Jesus Christ. And in the first chapter of John's gospel, he declared that we beheld his glory. They received a revelation. They saw it, they touched it. And Jesus said, you've seen me, you've touched me. Everything that I taught you now is fulfilled in my rising. And I'm going to send you forth now to bring repentance and forgiveness of sins to the whole world, beginning in Jerusalem. But you will need to be clothed with power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to fulfill that mission. And so we're seeing the reality of the apostles being filled with the Acts 2, the grace of Pentecost. And why do they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? They were with Jesus for 3 years, right? Jesus himself came forth from the waters of baptism in the Jordan, and he declared, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When he went home to, after making his way into the 40 days in the desert, battling the devil under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, declaring his kingship and his authority, he's come to break the back of the devil, to bring down the devil's kingdom. Jesus goes to his hometown after that and declares, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to obtain sight for the blind, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor. It's that same anointing. All the recent popes have spoken to us about it again and again, that in our baptism and our confirmation, we share in the very anointing of Jesus the Messiah, the one who is now Lord at the right hand of the Father. And that's real power. That's real power to fulfill the mission that we've been sent to participate in, to extend Jesus' kingdom into the earth. And we're seeing here throughout the earth. And what we're seeing here is the apostles beginning that ministry, just as Jesus said, they would receive power. They'd work miracles in his name. Signs and wonders would accompany the preaching of the gospel. And Jesus promised that they would experience resistance just like he did. So now the apostles, Peter and John, are in trouble because they healed a lame beggar. And the religious leaders are troubled by it. They're angered by it because that healing takes place in the context of their preaching. And what are they preaching? That Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's the Son of God. And this is particularly what they're resisting. They're resisting the authority and the dominion, the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so if you didn't have a chance to tune in the program last week, we were talking in particular about chapters 3 and 4. In the Acts of the Apostles, and just to touch on a couple of things from Acts chapter 4, because we'll pick that up today, the church gives to us in today's reading, verses 23 through 31. But just prior to that, in the section, the beginning of chapter 4, it says, as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Who's speaking? Peter and John. And these leaders, it says, were annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Here's the essence, friends, of the preaching. Part of the very core of what the apostles preached, they were bearing witness to what they knew. They were speaking, preaching in the name of Jesus. And what they were doing through the preaching and proclaiming Jesus, they were teaching the people that Jesus was risen from the dead and that he's passed from death to life and that the new creation has begun in him. And as Peter said in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, that God the Father has made this one, Jesus of Nazareth, Lord and Christ. Peter said, let all of Israel know for sure and for certain what has happened through this man. We're declaring to you what we know to be true, to be a fact. And the central fact about Jesus is that he is God's son, what he declared to us, and that he came among us and he preached and he called us to repent, to change the direction of our lives. And who did Jesus preach to? Jesus preached to the people of Israel and to the religious leaders that they needed to repent and turn to God and turn to Jesus. And he told them that he was God's son, that before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said. And they were angry at him because he was declaring himself to be equal to God. And his message was that the whole world needed to come to a place of repentance and forgiveness and to come into the Father's kingdom, and that Jesus came to break the rebellion that Satan himself was leading in this world to lead human beings into sin, enslaved to sin and death, to be cut off from God's life. Jesus came to give us God's life. And Peter said, essentially, he's the one. He's the one who brings the true message from the Father. He's the one who has within him the life, the glory of God, which is exactly what we, this race of people, need who have fallen from glory because of sin. I love the words of Father Joseph Fitzmyer, who passed away, was a very gifted biblical scholar, talking about the apostles and their preaching. He said, they believed that the glory that Jesus had received, glory from the Father, and the glory that he received from the Father became his power, the power to create new life in those who believe in him. In another place, he said this, that Jesus the Lord possessed a power derived from the Father and capable of bringing about the resurrection of Christians. And so here the apostles are proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and that now Jesus was given, and Peter preached it in Acts 2, he was given the promised Holy Spirit, the glory of God the Father, the glory that raised Jesus from the dead to pour out on all human flesh. And it began with the apostles so they could go forward in boldness and proclaim the truth that in Jesus Christ alone is on offer the resurrection of humanity, of human beings who believe in him from the dead. Jesus Christ is offering new life. He's offering life beyond death. And Peter boldly preached in verse 12 here. It said, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter proclaimed this in the first century, and it's as true today as it was when he preached it. Let me say it again. There is salvation in no one else. There's no other Savior. There's one Savior for the entire human race, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is God's son. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a religious leader. He's not just a great spiritual teacher. He is the God-man. And in him was the divine life, the life that will never die, the life that raised him from the dead. And he has, as he himself said, the power to give that indestructible life, that eternal life, to whomever he chooses, to every heart that opens up to him. And that's what it means to be saved. That's why there's no other name under heaven by which men and women can be saved than through Jesus Christ. That's the teaching of the Catholic Church, right at its heart, right at its core. Of course, we get down today to verse 23. And the apostles were sent away by the religious leaders who told them to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. They were beginning to experience resistance by the religious leaders, the rulers, the people in power. They, like Jesus, were upsetting the people in power, and they warned them. And Peter's response was, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all men praise God for what had happened. For the man whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. So the religious leaders continued to resist the signs that confirmed the preaching about Jesus, just as the signs confirmed the preaching from Jesus, and they resisted it, as God the Father performed signs and wonders to confirm the preaching. Now in verse 23, it says this, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said. And when they had heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who by the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves in array and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Psalm 2 is a messianic psalm. We'll talk about that more tomorrow in detail. But they go on. They're praying. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch forth your hand to heal, with signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. This is such a timely passage for us, not just because we're in the great season of Easter. We're celebrating today as well the memorial of St. Catherine of Siena, that bold, bold apostle in her own right, who experienced so much spiritual warfare in her life and declared the truth with such power in her own life, is a sign that the saints, all of us called to be saints, are to walk in the footsteps of the apostles. And what's important for us to hear today, I believe, my own heart, what we're seeing in the world today, I mean, everybody knows there's a kind of shaking that's happening in the world, and the church is going through great trial, and she's being disciplined, and a kind of judgment is on the church, both on the church and on the world in different ways. And part of what's happening in this discipline that's come upon the church is we're seeing the broader culture fulfill what's happening in Psalm 2. Cardinal Ratzinger had said at one point, this trial where the kings of the earth begin to rage against the authority of the Lord, against the commandments of God, God's purpose and God's design, and say, let's throw off the bonds. Let's throw off God's bonds because these commandments are like chains on us. We want to rely on our own resources. We want to be free. And as a result, those who stand like the apostles boldly proclaiming the gospel, the resistance comes against them. The resistance against God falls upon those who are standing in the name of Jesus and under the lordship of the Father's Messiah, of Jesus himself. So we're going to take this up more tomorrow, and I want to talk more about how prophetic this is for each and every one of us today. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.